Stay tuned for Grace Matters, brought to you by First Presbyterian Church at the corner of Ocean and Monroe Streets in Jacksonville.
Happy Independence Day. This week, we celebrate our American independence from British rule and the freedoms that we enjoy. Many people would say that America is founded upon the idea of freedom. At the core of our American principles is this concept of a freedom of religion, and it's found in the First Amendment in the Bill of Rights. Many of the first colonists coming to the New World here in America, they came here because they were fleeing some kind of religious persecution. There were Roman Catholics, Puritans, Presbyterians, Congregationalists, and even Baptists. We let them all in. They all came in. And while not all of the founding fathers were Christians, they still encoded this freedom into our government, because despite not agreeing upon the finer points of religion or theology or methods of worship, all of those were their driving forces behind that persecution that they fled, they did agree upon and understand that at the core of the gospel is the law of love as expressed in Christ Jesus. So because of this legal freedom of religion we have, we are allowed, we are able, we are required as Christians to practice and express the freedom we have, which is found in Christ through love. Please turn with me to our text, the first one, which is going to be from Psalm 119 on page 494 of the Black Pew Bible. We'll be doing verses 41 through 48. May your unfailing love come to me, Lord, your salvation according to your promise. Then I can answer anyone who taunts me, for I trust in your word. Never take your word of truth from my mouth, for I put my hope in your laws. I will always obey your law forever and ever. I will walk about in freedom, for I have sought out your precepts. I will speak of your statutes before kings, and I will not be put to shame. For I delight in your commands because I love them. I reach out for your commands, which I love, so that I may meditate on your decrees. And please turn with me as well to the New Testament here, to the book of Galatians, chapter 5, where we'll have a couple of verses. Verses 1 and then 13 and 14 on page 948. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Almighty, loving, and powerful God, we come before you today with gladness and celebration, because we are able to freely worship you. You are the author and the source of our freedom, a freedom that is found only in you. Open our ears that we may hear. Open our minds that we may understand. And open our hearts so that we might better love you and all of those around us. We ask this in the most glorious name of Jesus, the name above all names. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Amen. When you hear the word freedom, what comes to mind? Superman? Truth, justice, and the American way? Perhaps the end of the movie Braveheart, Mel Gibson, and freedom! You were awake. Good. Or what about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness? What does the word freedom mean to you? Is freedom free will, meaning a freedom of choice or not to choose? A freedom of action or inaction? Is freedom lack of oppression? Not worrying about government surveillance like they have in Cuba? Or armed posses rolling about in the streets? Or being a slave? Is it a state of being where you can say and do and think whatever you want without hindrance or restraint? Is it a lack of responsibility? These are all elements to how Webster's defines freedom. So are our laws, rules, and regulations counter to freedom? To me, that just sounds like chaos, anarchy. For what if by exercising your freedom, you then infringe upon somebody else's freedom? Whose freedom is more important, yours or mine? What freedom trumps what? Is there a freedom spade to your heart or diamond? You know what this kind of freedom looks like? The Israelites at Mount Sinai. See, Moses got called up to the mountain by God so that he could give him the covenant law. And Moses, he was gone for 40 days. And what did this free Israelite people do? They got impatient. They demanded that Aaron set up an order for them, like what they had back in Egypt, a golden calf, an idol for them to worship. And this idol, they worshiped saying, "This is the God that delivered us from Egypt." Their worship devolved into a riotous orgy of wickedness, drunkenness, and selfish sinfulness. So much so that Joshua, up on the mountain waiting for Moses, hears it and thinks it sounds like battle in the camp. Open warfare. Is that freedom? I think not. That is just complete anarchy, which is not what God intends for us. That riotous event, that's the result of our bondage to sin, which the law that Moses was up to receive was being given in order to reveal. So let's consider the law as we find in Psalm 119. I really do love this psalm. There's so much to it. And a lot of it does tend to get lost in translation from the Hebrew. So the focus of this psalm is God's law, the Torah, and us living our lives in relationship with, in, and under that law. We understand this psalm as one of those that was probably written later, likely after the exile, when the Jews were allowed to return and rebuild Jerusalem, as well as the temple. At that time, the Jews had lost much of their cultural heritage, their identity through conquest and cultural assimilation. They had lost their language, speaking Aramaic commonly instead of Hebrew, though the two languages are similar. They had married the foreigners who had been brought into the Promised Land to replace them when they were pulled out. These people had forgotten God's law. So this psalm was used as a teaching tool, a poem or a song crafted to help them to learn and remember Hebrew, like A, B, C, D, and so on. The first word of every line of each stanza, as I said, this is a poem, you know, each stanza being 8 verses, all begins with the same letter. So it's as if the first 8 verses, the first word of each line begins with A. The next verses, B, and so forth. So if we just bear in mind that this passage is just one part of a whole used to help unite a disparate group of people into a single cohesive whole. So let's look at it again. When in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people... Wait, no, that's not right. That's not the psalm. Let's look at the psalm a little bit deeper. May your unfailing love, your undeserved, unearned loving kindness come to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your promise. Then I can answer anyone who taunts me, for I trust in your word, the scriptures. Never take your word of truth from my mouth, for I have put my hope in your laws, in your judgments, and I will obey your Torah law forever and ever. I will walk about the vast expanse in freedom, for I have sought out your precepts. I will speak of your statutes, the testimony about you before kings, and I will not be put to shame, for I delight in your commands, your commandments, because I love them. I reach out for your commands, which I love, so that I may meditate upon your decrees. After the exile, when the priest Ezra read the law aloud to the people at the rededication of the rebuilt temple, Scripture tells us that the people wept from joy and in repentance because of the law's conviction of their sinfulness. They were united in weeping because of their rekindled love for the Lord and a renewed love for the law, of love in the law. So the portion of this psalm is a prayer. It is a prayer for a promised salvation, the hope that is found in God's law, so that we, his people, might have freedom. And in that freedom, that we might be obedient to God's law, which we love because it is our salvation and sets us free. The hope in the law, that command and decree, is summed up in one word, love. Or, better yet, in Jesus, for God is love. The freedom we hear about in this psalm is not like the Webster's definition we considered earlier. The Hebrew word that we interpret here as freedom is bar chava, which in a word refers more to a broad, wide expanse of space. I envision this much like the Wild West, the Old West. If you picture an old cowboy or a rancher where you can see the buttes in the distance, this vast expanse of open space, much like a Frederick Remington painting, where he's alone except surrounded by God's presence and splendor. This freedom is unrestricted, unrestricted through the law, an unrestricted freedom to love. Now, if we turn to the letter to the church in Galatia, the writer Paul, this is a guy who knew the law, the Torah. He knew all of the ins and outs of it. If there was a loophole, this is the guy who could find it. Except there isn't one. There wasn't a loophole in the law. It's ironclad, rock solid, an impenetrable prison with only one path out for sinful man, which leads to the gallows and a pine wood box. The law had to be kept completely, 100%, by someone. And that someone is Christ Jesus on our behalf. Paul wrote to the Galatians that to us, that it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. And that freedom we've been set free for is freedom from sin and sinfulness. The Greek word for freedom, eleutheria, is close in meaning to our American understanding of freedom or liberty. This freedom grants us the ability to do and allows us to do that which we are unable to do on our own without Christ. To do God's will by loving Him and one another. We didn't read this portion in our text today, but in the midst of this chapter of Galatians, Paul discusses and condemns trying to justify ourselves through the works of the law, speaking about circumcision. He warns us not to lock ourselves back up in that prison, throwing away the key, that expecting our salvation to come from the restrictions of the Torah and Jewish tradition is that yoke of slavery. See, back at Mount Sinai, the Israelites were acting out in what they thought was freedom, but they were actually acting under the chains of slavery. Chains that they could not see until Moses came down with the law. Chains that they could not remove or save themselves from until Christ did. What they thought was their freedom was actually bondage to sin. And what they thought was restrictive, the hope for Christ found in the law of God, was truly the only way to be freed from their sin. Paul exhorts us to not use our freedom to indulge our sinful natures, to not advance ourselves at the expense of others, to not tear each other down or be fearful or hateful towards those who think differently, look differently, or come from somewhere else, to not ignore the lost, broken, or lonely in our midst, whether in our church, in our city, in our homes. Verse 6, Paul writes that the only thing which counts is our faith as expressed through love. And that in our text here, that we are to serve each other humbly in love, to love our neighbors, to love as Jesus loves us, to share God's love with everyone, no conditions. Here at First Presbyterian Jacksonville, I think we do, usually, a pretty good job of loving our neighbors and each other. We have our Salzbacher feedings, our partnership with DESC, Prisoners for Christ and Kairos, our relationship with our brothers in Springfield and the sisters in Springfield, with Home Inc. and Hattie's Closet, as well as their growing church. For loving each other, we have our Sunday school classes. We have our Tuesday men's lunch, a Wednesday morning prayer breakfast, our Tables of Eight fellowship groups, Vacation Bible School, and the fellowship found in the choir. All of these are great examples of ways we try to live out our faith. Expressions of love, like Christ's love for us. But can we do more? Can we love more sacrificially? More freely? I think we can, and I know that I can, but will we? Soon we will have the opportunity to welcome our new pastor and his family, and we will greet them in love. And I expect there will be challenges, there will be growing pains, because things cannot and they will not be the same. Us as a congregation and the people, we will be challenged. We are going to be challenged to grow in our love, to grow in the expression of our love for those within these four walls and for those outside of them. I want and I will challenge us all to consider today how we may each grow and expand our active loving. This week, we will be celebrating our American Independence Day. There will be parties and barbecues and fireworks and music as we celebrate. But I ask that as we celebrate these freedoms that we have, that we also remember that first Independence Day, 2,000 years ago, the one Independence Day that really counts, Easter, the resurrection of Christ, our Independence Day from sin and from death, which gives us freedom in Christ and hope and life and the ability to love. Christ set us free for freedom. He set us free from the law that displays our sinfulness and leads to death. He set us free from the yoke of slavery and bondage to our sin, so that we may live out God's law, the law of love. Freedom from sin comes with the freedom to not give in to our desires, and instead to do the goodwill of God by loving each other, by loving our neighbors and the strangers among us. 2,000 years ago, Jesus said that to love each other as I have loved you. Greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend. July 2nd, 242 years ago, American patriots signed the Declaration of Independence in Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. Many of them gave up their lives because of their love for their friends and this country, this American experiment, and for us here today. It is because of their love for us that we are allowed to be here today worshiping the God who we know, who loves us, and loving one another as Christ calls us to love. That is the freedom which Christ gave us our independence for, the freedom to love. So in the words of the 1996 movie, today we celebrate our Independence Day. Amen.
America's song has remained vibrant, colorful. America's song is comprised of 1,000 descriptive stanzas, a new one added with each passing era. Yet through it all, America's song maintains this one consistent refrain, "Let freedom ring."
is your land, this land is my land. From California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made for you and me. As I was walking that river of highway, I saw above me that endless skyway. I saw below me that golden valley. This land was made for you and me. This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made for you and me. I've roamed and rambled, I've followed my footsteps to the sparkling sands of her diamond deserts, and all around me a voice was sounding, this land was made for you and me.
Listening to Grace Matters, brought to you by First Presbyterian Church at the corner of Ocean and Monroe Streets in Jacksonville.